Blog Talk Radio. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports of a Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course,
William Ramo.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, well, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Hey, glad to be on.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for checking out the show. You know, on this show, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. You know, what we do is keep it real on the show. And thanks for joining us. On today's show, as you could tell, you know, we're going to give a tribute to one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon, who just passed away last week, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I'd say about last week.
Last week.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, give him, you know, his... you know, his respects and his impact in the business, you know, in and outside the ring. We're also going to preview the WrestleMania coming up next Saturday and Sunday. We're also going to talk about, you know, the Mets and the Yankees, the Knicks resurgence as of late, and whatever else is on our mind. Oh, and, you know, of course, you know, the number is 999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's say hello to the bad guy, you know, one last time. And, you know, fortunately, as we all know, Scott Hall passed away last week, actually about probably last week, Monday. And, you know, all the tributes have been coming out, you know, about his passing. You know, obviously, you know, he's one of the greatest wrestlers who never had the opportunity to win a title, the WWE or the, you know, WCW World Heavyweight title. And obviously we all know, it's not because of his, you know, his in-ring ability or his impressive mic skills. You know, obviously he battled his, you know, demons inside and outside of the ring. And fortunately, it cost him opportunities of, you know, being trusted with the opportunity of, you know, being a champion. But like his longtime friend Shawn Michaels said, that, he didn't need the title. You know, he was bigger than the title. I mean, you know, the title is there for, you know, to elevate stars and, you know, show that the company is, you know, trust around that person, that person can, you know, produce an audience that will rush, you know, to buy a ticket. Obviously he had that star power to do so, but unfortunately his unfortunate addictions, you know, prevented both companies from, you know, ever giving him that opportunity. Obviously, you know, he's a former Intercontinental title champion, I think four times, if my memory served me right. And, you know, he's been he was always a huge star. And, his addiction, unfortunately, you know, cost him many opportunities of sustained, you know, heavyweight title success. But, you know, his impact will never be forgotten. You know, his wrestling performance, especially highlighted by the WrestleMania 10 match at MSG, against Shawn Michaels to win the undisputed Intercontinental title. Obviously, he formed NWO with Hogan and Nash at the Bash of the Beach in WCW in 96. And, you know, he just his upset loss to 1-2-3 Kid, later known as, X-Pac, you know, in the WWE.
Formerly known as Lightning Kid.
You're right, that too. Yep. And, you know, it just shows, you know, what a, you know, what a guy he was. You know, he wanted to elevate, you know, X-Pac, you know, then known as, you know, 123 Kid, you know, before he signed with the company. Like you say, he was Lightning Kid in other, you know, in another organization before he came to WWE, and he knew how talented the, you know, X-Pac was, so he wanted to elevate his star. And from, you know, so I mean, he's always been, you know, always, you know, working with people behind the scenes to try to elevate, you know, new stars. You know, he always had that business mentality. And, you know, it's good that, you know, that he had some scary moments, you know, in the past decade. But, you know, thank God his friendship with Diamond Dallas Page, you know, gave him a renaissance along with Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, highlighted in the movie we saw in theaters a few years ago. I think probably about a decade ago, not if I think. And, yeah, we were fortunate enough to, you know, meet DDP and Scott Hall that day when they were promoting the movie.
Oh,
and,
yeah. One of my favorite moments in my life. Definitely,
yeah, I know you.
One of my favorite wrestlers growing up.
Yeah, I know he was, like you just said, he was one of your big wrestlers, your favorite wrestlers growing up. So, yeah, tell me about that experience and, you know, of course, his, you know, untimely passing.
Yeah, man, like those police sirens in the background that I hear in your place. I mean, it's pretty much, I always remember Razor Ramon on Monday Night Raw, you know, with that old Monday Night Raw theme when that show started with the police sirens in the background.
Yes,
you know?
How appropriate.
But Razor, man, yeah, he was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. You know, him and Bret Hart, you know, those were two guys that I looked up to, you know, in the formerly known WWF. You know, Razor just had he had style, mm-hmm. and he could cut a promo, you know, and he had it all, you know, with the exception of, you know, never winning he won the Intercontinental title 4 times, mm-hmm. of course, but he was never heavyweight champion. And, you know, I found out that he never wanted the responsibility of being, you know, the world champion. So that's why he always just fought in the IC title matches or, you know, in a lightweight match, light heavyweight matches instead of the world championship. But one of my favorite Razor Ramon moments is, of course, at WrestleMania 10 against Shawn Michaels. And that's one of the greatest matches ever, I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the history of professional wrestling. So, you know, that stands out as, you know, the best match I've seen him perform in his entire wrestling career.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just watching this guy, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, this guy had the machismo. He had the style. You know, he had the charisma. And he was the bad guy. He was literally the bad guy, you know. Even at the times when he was a good guy, he still had bad guy tendencies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what made him so unique, you know, as a wrestler and a performer. And you know, he carried that momentum into the WCW with Kevin Nash, you know, when they formed the NWO alliance with the Hulk, and yeah, man, it was a pleasure to watch Scott Hall, and it's unfortunate that, you know, he passed away. You know, I mean, the guy was still, he was in his 60s, right, I believe?
Yeah, 63.
63, I mean, these days that's not even that old, you know, so he still had more years left in him. So it's unfortunate that, you know, he passed away due to complications from his surgery, but, you know, he's going to be missed. You know, he's one of the greatest superstars to ever grace a squared circle, and one of the, you know, most athletic big men, you know, that you'll ever see, you know, in a wrestling ring. But yeah, definitely one of the top performers, in the 90s during that WWF New Generation era, And, you know, I love watching him as a kid, and I'm going to miss him. You know, definitely have many memories watching him as a kid in a lot of great matches against Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty,
Diesel,
IRS, you know, a lot of great matches. Goldust, Double J. Yeah, Brett, especially the rivalry with Bret Hart back in the, you know, early 90s. So, yeah, man, he had a lot of great matches, and he's going to be missed. He's definitely going to be missed in the wrestling world. So, yeah, it's been a sad week, you know, for many wrestling fans and for people who knew Scott Hall.
Yeah, man, you hit it right on the head. You know, a lot of people miss him, and it's a good thing, you know, he was able to, you know, turn his life around the past couple of years, so that he could at least have a feeling, you know, knowing how much the fans love him, how beloved he was, you know. Jake the Snake, I didn't even know how loved he was until, you know, later on after his wrestling career was over, you know. So, I mean, it's good, you know, he was able to have these couple of years or extra decade where he was on the right path. And unfortunately, it's just sad that, he died of that complication, that surgical complication that caused him to have 3 heart attacks in a day. Like, it was just a crazy situation. But, you know, I hope he rests in peace, man. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Even though he was the bad guy. But, yeah, speaking of what you said, and you made a great point, he was able to WWE, especially at that time, or even in this time when you think about it, when you're a heel or a villain and you turn into a baby face like they did with Diesel, they take away all the stuff that, you know, the heelish tendencies that the fans liked about you, you know.
Yeah.
But that was one of the rare times, you know, with the exception of the Attitude Era, that, you know, a person, you know, maintained all the traits that made him popular. You know, obviously another person who carried that torch, you know, after Scott Hall left was, Scott Hall's future WrestleMania 18 opponent, Stone Cold. Stone Cold, of course, you know, had the double turn at WrestleMania 13, and you know, he was a heel, Bret Hart was the baby face, and then they did the double turn. And what made Stone Cold, just like Scott Hall did, you know, years before that, was that when he turned baby face, he still maintained his heelish tendencies. He wasn't like a Boy Scout. He kept all the tendencies that he had that made the fans, you know, love both of them, even when they were heels. So, you know, props to him, you know, just transcending the sport. And him and Kevin Nash was able to get they got guaranteed contracts, and, you know, obviously the rest is history for the wrestlers, as, you know, they still are battling to try to, not be seen as independent contractors and, you know, form a union in the future if they're successful at it.
Yeah.
But, rest in peace, Scott Hall. Yeah, man, he'll always be remembered for what he did, you know, in the ring, and help, you know, making new stars, you know. Here's a tribute from WWE.
The WWE family is saddened by the passing of Scott Hall, the man who proved it's good to be the bad guy.
Say hello to Razor Ramon.
Scott Hall made an instant impact upon his WWE debut in 1992 as Razor Ramon.
That character was the little spark that he needed to light the dynamite of everything he had.
Take a look at me. I living the good life, man. Good food, good drink, good chica.
You just can't teach somebody to be cool. And Scott's always been cool.
Maybe I could clear the table, huh? Is that what you would like, man?
He's the guy that made it cool to be the bad guy.
Being the bad guy came with benefits. Razor would cement his legacy as one of WWE's greatest intercontinental champions with a thrilling victory in WWE's first ever ladder match at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels.
I got gold around my neck and my most precious gold around my waist.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Upon leaving WWE in 1996, Scott Hall would make his way to WCW, where alongside Kevin Nash and the immortal Hulk Hogan, he would revolutionize sports entertainment with the NWO.
Going down there changed everything. Scott Hall was a pioneer.
We are taking over.
It just felt real. Felt like you were getting something special.
Hey, y'all, are you here to see them?
This is one of the best things that ever happened in the business.
When you're NWO, you're NWO for life.
The WWE family will forever remember Scott Hall as a gifted entertainer and two-time WWE Hall of Famer.
Hey, yo!
A loving father and a dear friend.
Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
Welcome back to Sports of the Legend. Well, of course, you know, I'm William Ramo, and I'm with Macaulay Matthew. And, let's slightly shift gears to WrestleMania 38, which is going to be debuting next week, Saturday and Sunday. So what's your thoughts on this upcoming WrestleMania 38?
Well, just looking at some of the matches for Night 1 and Night 2, I think they need to go back to just putting it just one night, man.
Because I agree.
That one night that I'm seeing, I mean, you'll have two women's matches that are going to be headlining that night.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, wow, that's so. There's no woman title match night two.
There's no woman title match night two, and you don't have like a major male title that, on night one.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Other than the tag team ties, but I mean, yeah, they gotta go back to just doing it one night, man. This two night thing, it was good during the COVID, you know, but now people are going out and seeing this event. You probably should go back to making it one night.
Yeah, man. I think this is just a cash grab right now. You know, just want to get the most. They want to get the most fannies in the seats. Be like, oh look. You know, we have a record for 400,000 people showed up at the, you know, at this football stadium, you know. I mean, like, come on. Like, I get it. I get you want to get the most fans in the seat. I get it. But, I mean, like, it's watered down now.
Yeah.
I mean, it just cut some matches, you know. Or just, you know, just put it one night. Like, two nights, like, this is just, it's overkill. Like, I mean, come on. Let's just dive right into this, man. Like,
yep.
All right, you got Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. This is apparently, looks like this is what's going to lead off the show. Like, are you serious? Like, this could have ended night one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to lead off with Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair? Like, they have a feud. They have a legit feud. Becky Lynch you know, ended Bianca Belair's title reign, you know, in 26 seconds with a shocking Becky Lynch heel turn, you know, hitting her with the Rock Bottom, which she now calls the Manhandle Slam. Yeah, I mean, the shocking thing about this match is that as of right now, it's penciled in as the show that's going to lead off the WrestleMania. The only thing that would be shocking is if Bianca Belair would lose this. I'm hands down picking Bianca Belair to win this.
Yeah, I'm going with Bianca Belair to win it as well.
Back-to-back years.
Yep.
I mean, she already did what Rock never did, the WWE never allowed Rock to do it anyway, and that's actually win or retain a heavyweight title. So, you know, I think she's going to do it again.
Yeah, I think Bianca's going to walk out of that arena with that title.
Mm-hmm. Just like Becky Lynch did it against Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey in that first main event, you know, women's main event, you know, a few years back. So,
yes, sir.
And according to Becky Lynch, they're the only two women to main event, main event at WrestleMania. So, I mean, to win a main event at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I think Bianca Belair is due to get her revenge finally.
Yeah, I think so.
Then you got Rey Mysterio and Dominic versus Miz and Logan Paul. Who do you think is going to win that one?
I am going to go with Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, I think that's a layup. But you know what just popped in my head? Maybe Dominic can turn on his father and turn heel after he wins the match. Or
really?
Cost him the match. I mean, that'd be shocking, wouldn't it?
Wow. I'd be surprised if that happened, but hey, never know. Could happen.
They could win the match, and then Dominic turns on him and then says, you know, he wants to be out of his father's shadow, you know, and, you know, he wants to be his own man. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, you know, based on his character, you know, but who knows?
Yeah, that would be a good storyline for the future. Son versus father, yeah.
I don't think Ray would ever fight him. But then again, you never know. You know, look at Undertaker and Kane. You know, he didn't want to fight Kane. And, of course, he was provoked and pushed to the limit.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. Yeah, this is a match. This was a WrestleMania moment. You know, this is a match, you know. Yeah, this match is worthy of having a 7-hour Raw. I mean WrestleMania. Yeah, Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin, which you know should be at maximum a 5-minute match, but you know WWE they'll probably push it to 10. Yeah, Drew McIntyre, hands down.
Of course I'm going with Drew McIntyre on this one. There's no way he loses.
Yeah, so far these are layups right now.
Yeah.
Then you got the Usos versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Riggs for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I could see it going either way.
I see the Usos retaining it.
I see the Usos retaining it too, but yeah, I'd love to see Shinsuke win it. Would Rick Boogs have a WrestleMania moment? Yeah, I think they're gonna make Usos lose to like a more serious threat. I mean, obviously Shinsuke Nakamura is a threat. I mean, let's be real, but the way how they're using him, they're using Shinsuke as a mid-carder.
Yeah,
you know. When this guy, you know, he could have been a champion, you know, but WWE for whatever reason they don't see him as a champion, kind of like Cesaro. But
I don't see them winning, unfortunately.
Yeah,
Usos are going to take it.
Rusev's going to retain.
Yeah.
I want to pick Shinsuke. I'm rooting for Shinsuke and the Boogs to win it. But, yeah, the way how WWE is booking them, you know, they want the Usos to retain this. They keep the title. They're going to probably wait until the New Day takes it off their hands. Or, yeah, I think only I can't really think of any other team taking the titles off their hands other than the Usos. I mean, other than the New Day, you know.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. Now, this is an interesting matchup right here. Edge versus AJ Styles. Dream match right here. Singles match.
I'm going with AJ.
Yeah, I'm going with AJ, you know, because, you know, I obviously Edge is the heel. I mean, obviously Edge, you know, he's won many times as a heel at WrestleMania, but I think, you know, this will be AJ's moment. You know, he'll redeem himself from that losing the Barnyard match to Undertaker.
And after this, Edge needs to retire like Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that, but yeah, let's, yeah, man, yeah, sad story about Triple H. You know, Triple H was talking to Stephen A. Smith, and, you know, he revealed that, you know, due to, you know, the problems he was going through with you know, with his heart, you know, now he has a defibrillator, and basically his wrestling career is over. You know, he was thinking about wrestling at 38. They didn't mention against who. But, you know, yeah, sad way ending to his career.
Well, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that he can't wrestle him, but then again, he's a 50 something years old.
Right.
And the last several years, I mean, he hasn't really been wrestling like that anyway. I mean, I already considered him retired to begin with, but,
mm-hmm.
He just confirmed it that, you know, but. You know, I just hope that, he's just got to watch his health, you know, from here on, because, you know, he does have a heart issue, and, you know, Eddie, yeah, I mean, you definitely can't wrestle with heart issues like that. I mean, he has a defibrillator that was inserted inside his heart, so, but, I mean, I already considered him retired anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I consider him retired also, but, you know, you would have thought a guy like that would have, you know, ended on his own terms, have a final match, pick his opponent, maybe Orton or somebody like that, and, you know, end it like that. But, hey, you know, life happens. I mean, look at Edge, you know, he fought against Del Rio like a decade ago, and then he had, the career-ending at the time, a career-ending injury, like his back. You know, he had, like, I think spinal and back problems that, you know, almost paralyzed him. But, you know, thank God through his rehab, it took him, like, 9 years to come back. You know, and now he's competing against AJ Styles. So, you know, best of luck to, you know, Triple H. And obviously, like you said, yeah, I mean, we've all considered him, you know, retired. He hasn't wrestled in years, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, didn't Triple H have a career ending match with Undertaker?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like whoever
the
loses.
The end of an era? The end of
something?
Era? Yeah, the end of an era, but he was still wrestling like, what, 2 or 3 years afterwards, or maybe 3 to 5 years after the end of the era match, where everybody. Right. Everybody at least had one match afterwards. You know, Undertaker obviously retired, what was it, 2 years ago or so? And then afterwards, of course, Triple H officially retired. And Shawn Michaels, he had that one match where, you know, for the first time ever, DX battled against the Brothers of Destruction. I mean, wow. I mean, that's like at the top of my dream list of, wow, I wonder what it would be like if Triple H or Shawn Michaels would ever fight Undertaker and Kane. Like, yeah, right. Like, that would ever happen. Like, whose dream match was this? I mean, the only dream match was the zero they got in that paycheck, you know, to do this match. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels just ruined his legacy. I would have been there, done that match, even though technically they never fought, you know, in a tag team match against each other. like that. That's the only, you know, history-making thing that they did. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Wait for that. Wait for that opportunity. But, oh, you know, it is what it is. You know, best of luck to, you know, Triple H as he, you know, continues working behind the scenes in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, he's the executive vice president, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
he's still on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
On the WWE scene, he's still the work, but backstage.
Yep.
Not in the ring, so.
And a guy who we drafted, Gable Stevenson, you know, the Olympian and two-time NCAA champion. He won the NCAA championship again, and you know, he retired as a amateur wrestler. He left his boots in the ring, and you know, he already signed with WWE, and now he's you know, he's training to start his WWE ring, and Stevenson is reportedly gonna appear at WrestleMania. I think, if I'm not mistaken, him and the female wrestler, I forgot her name. She was like the first black woman wrestler, NCAA wrestler winner. Forgot her name at the moment.
Yeah, I can't think of who you're talking about.
But yeah, she. They were both at the WrestleMania, I think, last year, you know. But props to, you know, Stevenson, you know, starting his, you know, the next phase of his career as a WWE superstar.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully he'll make the most of his opportunities. And speaking of opportunity, someone who claims to be the opportunity is, of course, Charlotte Flair. And she's going to be defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against, you know, the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey. Who you think is going to win this one?
I think Ronda's going to win.
Yeah, hands down. Hands down, Ronda has to win this one. This is a match that we were gonna have a few years ago, if Becky Lynch, you know, wasn't you know, inserted into that match last moment. So yeah, Ronda Rousey, she's definitely gonna win this match for sure.
Yep.
So that's night one. Night two is Queen Zelina and Carmella versus Banks and Naomi versus Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Natalya and Shayna Baszler. Who do you think is going to win that one?
Man. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I think Rhea Ripley and Morgan might pull off the upset.
Yeah, man, we were thinking that you know, I was thinking the same thing too before you just said that, because yeah, obviously the obvious choice would be Sasha and Naomi, since they're both, you know, very popular with the fans, and then of course, you know, you got Queen Zelina and Carmella defending the titles, you got Natalya and Shayna Baszler, who are great, you know, grapplers in their own right, but yeah. This looks like this is the perfect moment for Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan to win the title. Like, both of these women were, like, competing for, you know, the women's title. And then for, like, the past couple of months, they've kind of dropped off a bit, you know, in their opportunity. Other than the Elimination Chamber, you know. But winning a title here, you know, will elevate those stars.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and they've been, a good good duo,
mm-hmm.
Morgan and
Ripley.
You know, they make a good tag team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting my money on them.
I'm with you. Believe it or not, maybe Ripley will win it, and with Morgan. And then of course you got Johnny Knoxville from, you know, he's gonna be battling. Yeah, he's going to be battling Sami Zayn in an Anything Goes match. And, yeah, I mean, Johnny Knoxville, you know, he's going to win this match.
I'm going with Johnny Knoxville. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if this Jackass crew helps him win.
Yeah, no doubt. They're gonna interfere. I mean, it's an Anything Goes match, so it's not cheating.
Yeah, it's true.
You know. Then you got Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. Oh my goodness, this is another Raw match. I mean, the only thing that's interesting is, you know, Pat McAfee, you know, he did well in NXT against I'm trying to remember his name, Adam Cole, when Adam Cole was still in the you know, NXT with the, you know, the Undisputed Era. But yeah, this, I mean, Pat McAfee, wrestling, you know, this was his dream to wrestle at WrestleMania. That is actually interesting, you know. And, you know, potentially Austin Theory is going to get his butt whooped, so that probably will be interesting. But
I think Austin Theory might win.
I mean, who knows? I mean, he could. I mean, you know, with a small package and, you know, interference maybe, you know, it's possible.
I think he's going to win it, man.
I'm picking Pat McAfee, but, you know.
I'm going with Austin Theory.
You're probably right. You know, Vince McMahon could pull some strings. You know, put a banana peel for Pat McAfee to trip over, and, you know, some theory to win. I could see that. You know, WWE loves to, you know, PO the fans, especially when they're in New York. But where are they gonna be at? Where's this one? Oh yeah, it's gonna be California, I think, if I'm assuming that, right?
I think so.
Then you got RKO. Team RKO versus Street Profits versus Alpha Academy for the Triple Threat title.
Why do I think Alpha Academy is going to win this?
Never know. I mean, RKO and Street Profits kind of cancel each other out as baby faces.
Yeah.
Might be right. Alpha Academy could shock the world and win it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't see Street Profit winning it, you know.
No,
I mean,
I
could see RKO retaining. I could see Alpha Academy pulling it off. Profits, I don't know. They're so talented, but, you know, WWE is just mid-carding them. Like, Montez Ford himself, that guy, you know, even The Rock himself said that, he could be a future champion.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, the personality, you know, the mic skills. Yeah.
Charisma. And, you know.
And the wrestling ability.
Yeah, he looked up to The Rock, and you could clearly see it. And, like when he debuted day one, you could see, like, I saw it, that, you know, he had The Rock mannerisms. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, WWE, man, they just holding them back, man. But, you know, hopefully it's their moment. They could get a WrestleMania moment.
Hey, you never know.
And, they remind me of a tag team, a popular tag team, you know, Crime Time. And, of course, Chad Gaspar, he's going to be the Warrior recipient, you know, at this upcoming WrestleMania. So, congratulations to him, you know, posthumously going in. You know, obviously, you know, he passed away, you know, being, you know, the perfect father, you know, literally, you know, sacrificing his life so that his son could live, you know.
Yeah, well deserved, and he's missed, you know, definitely a hero, saving his son.
Good
but
dude.
Ended up costing his life.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely a warrior.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to Naya Rivera doing the same thing. The Glee star. She did the same thing for her child as well. Eerily the same exact scenario, you know. you know, just shows you that, there are some good people who are good parents, who laid down their life to ensure that their child could have a future.
Yeah.
You know. So, well deserved honor. I mean, he was so, him and JTG were so popular, so you would hope that one day they would go in, as a tag team. But yeah, man, Chad Gaspar, he was already Hall of Fame, worthy. And, it's just sad how what happened to his life. But, he's truly a hero and a great father.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so he's going to join Undertaker, who's going to be inducted in by Vince McMahon. And Vader is finally going to go in, even though, Vader was begging WWE to put him in, while he was alive. They're finally
about time.
That. Yeah, I know. Kind of remind me of the China story. Like they waited until these people pass away before they did. Or Macho Man also. We were fortunate that Bruno Sammartino and Ultimate Warrior were able to get in while they were alive, they had bad blood. But yeah, so and also Charmel. The wife of Booker T, Queen Charmel. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is a great great class this year.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Was there anybody else that went into the hall that got inducted in this year? Something that I'm forgetting.
No one else I can think of.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have they're gonna have the ceremony, right after Raw.
Nice.
Let's see what is. Yeah, that's it. Those are the only four. Yeah. Looks like Batista might be a presenter.
Oh, really?
Wow. So it looks like I'm reading here. Trying to think who he induct. Who are the people that are in here? Maybe it could be Chad Gaspar. Yeah, I think it would be Chad Gaspar. I can't really think. No, actually, it's normally, what's her name, Dana Warrior that does it. Ultimate Warrior's wife that usually does it. Oh, wait a minute. My fault. They think he's going to be inducted next year, 2023, from what I'm reading. So he's going to be inducted. He's going to be inducted in 2023. He's not an inductor.
Okay.
So here's now I'm seeing right here. Vince McMahon's gonna induct Undertaker. We know that. Booker T is inducting his wife, Queen Charmel. Obvious choice. Dana Warrior is gonna induct Chad Gaspar. And Vader, Vader hasn't been chosen to induct them. I would assume it'd be maybe Mick Foley. Trying to think. To me, I would think it would be Mick Foley. Can't really think of anybody else who would induct him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Harley Race, but Harley Race, he's not even alive.
Yeah, I can't really think of anybody else. I think Mick Foley's going to be the one.
Or Sting. Sting's in AEW.
Yeah, Sting's in AEW. I don't think Vince would make him come.
Some battles back in the NWA, WCW days with Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ric Flair.
Yeah, maybe Ric Flair, but then again, I don't know. WWE and Ric Flair hasn't. I mean, Vince and him are still cool, but I think he doesn't like the way that they've treated his character with the whole Lacey Evans storyline, and and probably some other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to come and do it. Maybe for Vader, maybe, perhaps. Who knows? We shall see. And last but not least, Brock Lesnar, WWE Champion versus Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, for the winner-takes-all match to unify both titles. Who you got here?
I'm going with Brock Lesnar winning both titles.
Yeah. Normally I would say Roman Reigns, but yeah, this is Brock Lesnar's era right now. He's just being Galactus and Thanos and the Mandarin all combined, man. He's just racking up title wins. Now he got eight championships now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just racking it up, man. So, yeah, he's just going to put another hardware. You know, he'll lose the title, you know. Maybe he could lose it maybe a month from now or a year from now, and he'll just get the title back, you know.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, Brock's going to win this. What can you say? You know, and then Roman Reigns is going to have to acknowledge him.
You think Roman Reigns will do that?
No, but well, you have no choice but to when he's on the mat, you know, after the 3-fall.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what happened on Raw. I mean, SmackDown. They were at the Barclays Center.
Right. I saw that.
Oh, man, that might have been the most boringest Barclays Center episode I've ever seen.
Yeah, they weren't as excited as you'd think. Especially in New York City, it's usually a excited crowd. It didn't feel like
mm-hmm.
that. Then again, the Barclays Center is not the Garden, so.
Mm-hmm. But even the Barclays Center, I mean, you'd have some people. I think it's because they didn't have no matches. Everything is set. You know, it's the day before WrestleMania. If this was like the day after or the week after, you know what I mean? Like if this was the first SmackDown after WrestleMania, then it would have been pumped. You know what I mean? But
WrestleMania is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're a week too early. They're like a week or two too early. Like they should have did this after WrestleMania was over. And have it at Barclays Center. Like, there's nothing to hype up. There was no matches. There was no titles on the line. Everything is just set in stone. Yeah, I mean, what can you say, man?
Yeah. And we'll see how this WrestleMania turns out, next week.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I definitely think they should go back to doing one night.
Amen to that, man. Amen to that. This two-night thing is just overkill already. Like, just switch it back. But shifting gears, what's your thoughts on you know, the off season, the baseball off season, spring training is going on right now. Baseball's going to start in what, 2 weeks from now? How you feeling, man?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I mean, I guess not good, but okay. I mean, I wish the Yankees would have gotten Correa, Freeman, and they let Freeman go to the Red Sox. Correa, pretty much, they helped the Twins get Correa by helping them free salary cap and then mm-hmm. trading Gary Sanchez and Urshela to the Twins. So I didn't like that one bit. But
mm-hmm.
I think we still got a good team to compete. And that American League East is going to be a tough division to play in this year. I mean, you got Toronto, you got Red Sox, you got Orioles who have all improved. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle-tested division this year, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, looking forward to see how these guys perform this year, and some of these new guys, Donaldson, you know, the shortstop, and I'm pumped up.
Yeah, well, that's good, man. You know, glad to see you all pumped up, you know. Like you said, the Yankees didn't do any, you know, major moves, you know. Everybody around them did it, you know. Story shockingly went to the Red Sox instead of, you know, coming to them. And apparently one of the people from the Red Sox was
talking. Was Story or Freeman? Oh, did I get that wrong?
No, both. No, you said
Freeman.
Yeah, but there was a bunch of rumors, you know, before, like ever since last year, you know, people were saying, you know, Yankees might trade for Lindor. Obviously, he got traded to the Mets. Then, you know, of course, there was Correa, Story. I'm trying to think who else was out there. I mean, yeah, there was a bunch of Simeon, all these different guys who, you know, people thought, you know, potentially could have came, but, you know. But then again, you know, the Yankees, they always have something up their sleeve, you know. They did get Donaldson, who's going to provide grit for that team, you know, someone with an edge. I think that, could, you know, we never know. That could be the difference for the Yankees, you know, turn around their, you know, their postseason, you know, ineffectiveness to hit, you know, with runners in scoring position in the playoffs, you know, so. We'll see what happens, you know. Obviously, yeah, they didn't get Freeman, but, you know, Freeman, you know, he went to the Dodgers. And the Dodgers didn't even, the Braves didn't even give him a heads up that they're moving in another direction, you know. And then there was a rumor, and then Tripper Jones recently spoke out and said that, you know, he warned Freeman, you know, to, like, sign the extension that, if that happens, he's playing a dangerous game, man. You know, now Freeman is a Dodger, and now the Dodgers are even more scarier. And Dave Roberts, their manager, said that they're going to win it again. So
they probably will with that lineup.
Yeah, they, you know, they got a tough team. They got an awesome team with pitching, Kershaw return. They got Bueller. You know, they got an extremely tough team, you know. But I'm just hoping and praying that the Mets can, you know, overtake them, you know. Because the Mets, you know, they got arguably the best 1-2 combination in the game. You know, maybe even three, you know, if you want to include Bassett, who was the ace of the newer big three with Bassett, Manaea, and I'm trying to think of the other guy. Okay, wait. It was Bassett, Manaea, and Montez, I think is the other guy's name. So, yeah, I mean, we shall see what happens. And then, you know, the Mets improved. You know, they signed Escobar, they signed Cana. I'm trying to remember the other guy's name. Marte. And then, but of course, they got Scherzer back in the trade. You know, they made some moves, you know, some big moves. But, yeah, the other teams, like you said, in the AL East, they made moves. The NL East definitely made moves, too. You know, the Braves, they got Matt Olson to replace Freeman. I forgot. I think they signed somebody else. Canley Jansen. You know, a guy who I wanted the Mets to sign. You know, as a backup closer. You know, or in a slash setup man. You know, to Diaz. Phillies. They signed Schwarber and Castellanos. You know, that's scary. You know, pairing him with, you know, Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto, you know, that and Didi Gregorius, you know, that Philly team got even more scarier, you know.
Yeah, a lot of teams improved this offseason.
Mm-hmm. And even the Marlins, they signed Soler,
yeah,
you know, away from the Braves, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. And then shifting gears, you have the Knicks And, you know, the Knicks, the season, you know, gets over, but the Knicks are, you know, the young guys, the young Bucks, man, they're you know, they're fighting, you know. Quickly had a big game, 20 points, scored like what? I think he scored 23 points, 20 of his 23 points in the fourth quarter when the Knicks overcame a 17-point deficit in the fourth quarter to overcome it. R.J. Barrett, you know, had a rare off night. He only scored, I think, like 18 points, didn't shoot well. But prior to that, R.J. Barrett, man, he was, you know, I think he had back-to-back 30-point games.
Yeah, he's been playing great.
Mm-hmm.
He's, he's going to finish the season averaging 20 points, you know, as long as mm-hmm. he continues this hot streak that he's on.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely got to keep it up, man. You know,
but this young group of Knicks, yeah, I mean, they've been playing well these last 10 games. And, you know, their record could have been even better if they didn't blow a lot of these leads, the last month or so. I mean, they've been in these games, but when the second half comes, it's like they relax a little bit, let the other team come back. And, yeah, that's been a major problem for them, not holding on to leads. I mean, they could have probably been close to 500 right now.
Absolutely. And, yeah, for sure. I mean, for sure. The young guys are performing well. R.J. Barrett, he's quickly developing, you know. Jericho Sims is starting to play a little bit more. Obi Toppin started a little bit, you know, these past couple of days in place of Randall. And, you know, the young guys, McBride, Grimes, you know, the young guys are, you know, producing.
Yeah. So
hopefully they can keep it up.
Hopefully. I mean, it might be a little too little too late, but mm-hmm. you never know.
Yeah, for sure. As long as Thibodeau is committed to playing the young guys more, giving them more of an opportunity, you know, the sky's the limit for those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Which one would you rather? Him continue to try to play the veterans and try to win and see if we can get this play-in game, you know, or focus on the young guys, even if it will cost us the play-in.
I mean, why can't we do both? You could do both. You could still play the veterans, but you could also still give the young guys some time. And I mean, that's pretty much what they've been doing, the last week. They have been playing the veterans, but then again, the young guys are coming off the bench, giving them energy and helping them win some of these games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can continue it and, finish the season out strong. But, you know, again, this effort might be a little too late right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Yeah, one thing that's not too late is Mayor Adams, you know, he reversed the mandate, which allows, you know, players to, unvaccinated players to play home games. So as a result, now that the Mets and the Yankees don't have to worry about opening day missing some players potentially, and of course on the Nets side, Kyrie Irving is finally able to play home games just in time for the playoffs coming up. So
perfect timing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely the right time as the Nets are going into the playoffs mm-hmm. in this play-in. And Kyrie's been killing it. You know, he's mm-hmm. scoring 60, 50, 40-something mm-hmm. points. Yeah, he's been on a tear. Mm-hmm. So they need him right now.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Perfect timing. Kyrie Irving was taking his game to the next level, and now the home team is gonna be get to witness it finally, you know, for the first time since the pandemic era. So, you know, we shall see. But I think that's about it. I could think of. I think we're good. I mean. Anything you'd like to talk about before we, you know, head off?
No. Check out my show, IMAC, coming up here. Check your local listings. Special tournament we do every year, Mac Madness Tournament. So check your local listings for that.
Thank you, Mac. Thanks for, you know, coming on the show again, as always. And also, you know, check out his show. And, of course, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Simulator TV. And come back in 2 weeks for the all-new episode of Sports Urban Legend, where we review WrestleMania 38 and also the Batman film we saw a few weeks ago. So, and what other, you know, surprises, you know, that might happen, or, you know, during this mini break. So, again, I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. And, you know, we'll see you next week. I mean, actually 2 weeks. Peace.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.